News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So no callers there on the question of whether Trump's name still carries that kind of weight in Alabama politics, but we'll see. I think there's still more going on. Copper's still watching the phones. Eagle eye on the phones, Copper. Eagle eye.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. But hey, we're going to switch gears now. I just heard back from Eric Johnston, a friend of mine who is the head of the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition. He is also the individual who wrote the bill. It was known as House Bill 314 in 2019. It's the Alabama Human Life Protection Act. Some controversy in the last couple of days. So switching gears now, I'm going to talk about that bill and then talk about it more with Eric Johnston when he calls in, because he was the author of that bill. In fact, the Alabama Policy Institute, where I have been affiliated now for several years, the Policy Institute, we gave him an award for that very thing. It's called the Policy Warrior Award, and it's basically to recognize those individuals, whether in public service or in the private sector, who have done something significant to impact public policy for conservative values. Well, he certainly did. The interesting dynamic we've got is that another friend of mine, Representative Terry Collins, she was the chief sponsor of that particular bill, and they got it through both the House and the Senate, and it went through and not without controversy. Obviously, every pro-life bill did. I was always amazed at the level of rhetoric that would go to the microphone by people opposed. But then again, I value life from the moment of conception. I think it is a child the moment it is conceived. Anyway, Terry Collins, who has said in the past, because I was with her when she said it, she has said in the past that in the event that there was ever an attempt to weaken that law while she was still carrying it, that she would just kill the bill herself rather than let it get passed in a weakened state. And yet she seems to be amending her position, even as she was the former sponsor of a bill that is currently in effect, just merely enjoined by the courts while we wait to see if Roe is overturned. She's now caveating her position and saying, well, we were just trying to overturn Roe, yes, but maybe we could make some changes, and we'll now get to have whatever law Alabamians really want. What does that mean? The law that we want is apparently the one on the books. Well, we're gonna figure that out. And I heard back from I sent a message to Eric, and I said, Eric Johnston, I said, Eric, what's up with this? I mean, these are the comments being made by Terry. You worked with her on this bill. Why is it going the way it's going right now in the news? Is she? And anyway, the bottom line is I'll let him explain it. But I don't think it's, I have a hard time believing that a conservative Republican majority, well, let me rephrase that, a Republican majority that calls itself conservative, how about that? That a Republican majority in our state House and Senate that calls itself conservative is going to go to Montgomery and say, you know what? We got one of the strongest pro-life bills in the nation. What do you say we weaken it? Good luck with that. All right, so here's a bit of a summary for you. House Bill 314, the Alabama Human Life Protection Act, passed in May of 2019, just towards the end of that session. It was set to impose basically a near-total ban on abortion starting that same fall. But, of course, the usual legal challenges were filed. Even though it came through both House and Senate, signed by Governor Ivey, it basically says a doctor who performs a banned abortion in the state of Alabama could be guilty of a Class A felony. That's heavy, see? And could be sentenced to life imprisonment because it would be considered a murder. There you go. Several proposed amendments that would have allowed exceptions for things like rape and incest were rejected. It was a pure bill. It was basically saying no abortions in the state, period. The bill's sponsor, now my recollection was it may have had an exception. I think it did have an exception for, and Copper, do you know, didn't it have an exception for something threatening the life of the mother?
Yes, that's right.
That's what I thought. So it wasn't like it was saying, oh, sorry, you're going to have to die. No, it wasn't, not at all. All it was saying is you can't willingly and voluntarily take the life of the child. And, you know, from its very introduction, all the way to signing, it was strongly opposed by Democrats, politicians, activists, criticized even by some Republicans because they were weaker on the issue. Legal challenges, they went to bat. The Attorney General's office went to work on it. But of course, you know what happens. When you have one of these bills that become law and they immediately go to court, and they went to court saying that it violated the constitutional right to an abortion as upheld by, you know, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the progeny of Roe v. Wade. Oh, well, Judge Myron Thompson, the usual suspect down in the Montgomery area in the federal district court. I don't know of anyone who has done more to basically stymie conservative policy than that one man. I think he was appointed, if I'm not mistaken, by Clinton. He's been down there for quite some time. The appointment of a federal district judge, by the way, is for life or good cause, which means they're there until they die or until they feel like leaving, or until someone catches them, you know, committing a crime and they have to be taken out for good cause. All right, so that being said, federal district judge Myron Thompson enjoined the act. But it didn't, but here's the deal. Enjoining the act is not a killing of the bill. It's not a killing of the act. It didn't become not law. It means that it could not be enforced at that time. Well, it remains in that status. My recollection, and I'll check with Eric when he comes on, but my recollection is the legal status of the Human Life Protection Act in Alabama is it is merely enjoined. And my recollection was, and I'll let Eric clarify this too, is it was enjoined on the basis of Roe. So if Roe is overturned, you would think then there would be a firm argument to release it, to get it back out there, to let it to be enforced. And let's see if I can find the opinion here. Judge Myron Thompson, here it is, October 29th of 2019, just prior to its ability to take effect. U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson issued a preliminary injunction against the abortion ban, preventing the legislation from entering into effect. Thompson wrote an opinion in which he argued, quote, here's his quote, "Alabama's abortion ban contravenes clear Supreme Court precedent. It violates the right of an individual to privacy, to make choices central to personal dignity and autonomy. It diminishes the capacity of women to act in society and to make reproductive decisions. It defies the U.S. Constitution." I'm not sure how all of that could be found. But nonetheless, the right to privacy, where does that... Copper, as much as you've studied pro-life issues... Where does the right to privacy become contravened by a ban on abortion, you know?
I really don't understand that, unless it's, you know, your medical decisions shouldn't be public, but that doesn't mean that you can make other medical illegal decisions that harm people just because of privacy. It doesn't make any sense.
I guess. I guess that's what they're saying. That's the only thing I can think of, you're right, is if they arrest the doctor for you know, performing the abortion, that the only way they can do this is in a trial. They have to talk about what happened. But the reality is, too, I can't tell you how many cases I've been involved in where you have gag orders or you have protective orders in place that say you can't talk about certain things, or you mask the name of those individuals who could be compromised, who are just innocent bystanders in the overall.
But just imagine if that reasoning was used for other controversial topics like euthanasia or illegally obtaining organs for donation. Imagine if you try to use that argument. Well, you know, I have a right to privacy, so even if it's an illegal medical procedure, I can do it. What? No.
Yeah, and especially in this particular case, it takes a life. All right, well, so that's the status right now. When we get back here after the top of the hour, we're going to be with Eric Johnston, a very learned attorney, a scholar, in my opinion, on matters of constitutional policy and law, but also the author of this particular bill, someone also who has been a true advocate in the pro-life fight here in Alabama, the head of the Pro-Life Coalition for Alabama. And we'll hear what he has to say about these recent comments from Terry Collins. Terry Collins, who said this morning on Dale Jackson's show that perhaps there would be a time after Roe being overturned that we might be able to enact an Alabama law that Alabamians do want. And I'm thinking, don't we have that right now? I'm not sure why the bill sponsor wants to change her bill, which she got passed. Anyway, we'll see. More on that coming up after the break. You're going to want to stay tuned. This could be a good interview. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.